Good morning, everyone. I'm on. Before I begin, I hope I can do this. I just want to express on behalf of my wife and myself, our deep appreciation for all your prayers. And we can't tell you how significant that was in our life. Something that came suddenly. We knew something was wrong. And God's wonderful love and mercy and grace and healing hand has been with Elizabeth. And now I can hardly keep up with her as we walk down the road. So we're just praising God. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I am talking a lot today on faith. Faith is another word that we use all the time. And we also hear it in our society, the word faith is used. And it is essential that we understand what it means and what it means from the context of what the Bible says it means. And you have it in your mind what it means. And so one of my desires today is that we will come away with a true understanding of what the word faith actually means. Okay? So in the New Testament, you find the word faith 250 times. Here I am, numbers again, eh? I'm a numbers guy. 250 times. And in the Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is the story of Jesus, his life, his ministry, you find the word faith 30 times. And Jesus says it 29 of those times. So the 30 times you see it, 29 times. That would be a very interesting study if you really want to. And by the way, if you really want to understand your Bible, you've got to connect the dots. If you don't connect the dots, you may get very confused. And so this morning, we're going to talk about one of those instances where Jesus used the word faith, one of the 20 times, okay? And that is found in Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 10. And this is a story, because most of the situations in the Gospels are stories. These are events that take place in time and space, preaching Jesus and other people. And this is another one of those stories. Now, I'm going to read this, by the way, in the NIV, the original NIV. If you're like me, and you've been a Christian a few years, they keep changing translations, right? I've given up. I'm gone back to my NIV. It served me well for years. Anyways, I'm going to read this, but listen to this story. Luke 7, beginning at verse 1. When Jesus had finished saying all this in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. And there a centurion servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, And that one come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. So, isn't this interesting? I have not found such great faith even in all Israel. And who are we talking about? A centurion, a soldier. The centurion is the highest rank that a commoner could achieve in the Roman army. They were a society of it's who you are if you want to be someplace, okay? It's the highest rank. And did you know it took between 15 to 20 years to achieve that? They were the best of the best as far as a soldier goes. In a battle, you would not want to battle with a centurion, because it's very unlikely you're going to win. And the centurion has the name because of centurion, which talks about 100, because basically they were over about 100 soldiers. And so it's not a Pharisee who was a very religious person in society. It was not a priest. It was not a regular Jewish person who had faith in God. It was a centurion that Jesus said had such great faith. A centurion, a Gentile, a heathen, they would say. And that's very interesting. And that always caught my attention when I read this, you know. And I wondered, what exactly was Jesus saying when he said, I haven't found such great faith? Now, I just want to say one thing. One of the reasons I use the NIV, because the NIV uses great faith. The ESV, which I have been using, is such faith. Left the word great out. And I thought, that's not great at all. Translation is difficult because you have this written 2,000 years ago in another language, and not every English word or expression actually gives you the meaning. And there are some variations. I think you should put the word great should be in there, actually. Because what the word really means is so much or so many. It literally means that. It's actually a word of measurement or quantity. You have so much. It's used, for instance, in John chapter 6, verse 9, when they're talking about Jesus brought the question about how they're going to feed all these people, the 5,000 people. And Andrew said, here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many? So many, the number, so many. And the challenge is to translate this idea with the word faith. So much faith, so many faith, you know, it's kind of awkward. Such great faith. But if we're going to put it in a numerical sense or a quantity, let's measure it out of 10. This faith is a 10, right? It's a 10 out of a 10. That's what he's basically saying. He's such great faith. Compared to everything else, this one's a 10, is what he's saying here. So we're going to learn a lot of things about faith today, and I'm going to make some points. And after this, immediately, we're going to have a test. Does anybody believe me? Well, that's what this is all about. What do you really believe, right? Okay, take notes. No, the first thing we realize, and it's very important to understand when we see the word faith, especially in the New Testament, I'm going to talk about primarily within the New Testament context. Faith is only exercised by people. This is not something that God does. This is not something that Jesus... It never says that Jesus believes or Jesus has faith or God believes, because who are they going to have faith in? Just like God doesn't swear by anybody else because he can't swear by anybody greater than himself, you see. And the second thing is very important, that faith in the Bible, in the New Testament, is always in someone. It's always in. In fact, whenever you see the word used, you will find it always referring, it is faith in God the Father. It is in Jesus Christ. Because faith has an object, has a focus, and is always in the Father or in the Son, over and over again. And in this story, the centurion's faith clearly is in Jesus Christ. That's who his faith is. It's in him. Now, already I've used this word faith many, many times, but I think we better start explaining what exactly it means. Faith is a noun. It's a noun. And most nouns, you don't get a clear understanding of it unless you have a verb attached to it, right? A teacher is a noun. A teacher teaches, right? Someone who teaches is a teacher. Noun, teacher, teaches, verb, all right? So that's very important to understand that. So with faith, faith is the noun, the verb is believe. Someone who has faith believes. The person who believes has faith. They are attached. And the Greek word for believe is also found in the Bible 248 times. And when you add them together, 248 times for believe, 250 times for faith, it's almost 500. Now here's an interesting fact. The most common word found in the New Testament is God, over 1,000 times. The second most common word found in the New Testament, in the 900s, is Jesus. The next most common word found in the New Testament is Lord, it's in the 600s. And now here around, coming in fourth position, putting the words faith and belief together, is faith and belief, over 500 times. It's pretty important, don't you think? Pretty significant that we understand it. And it's also understand that in the English, we have faith, the noun, believe, the verb, but like teacher and teach, teacher and teaching, it, in the Greek, it's one word. It comes from one word. The noun, and the Greek word is pistis. The verb is pistuo. It comes from one word, like teacher and teaches, teaching. Okay? And what that word means, to be convinced or persuaded of something. You believe means that you're convinced or you're persuaded. That's what it is. That's what the word means. So faith is talking about people who are convinced or persuaded of something, that it is true. And it's a very strong word. So back to the centurion, okay? It says that he had a servant, and he was highly valued, and he was sick, and was about to die. And then it says in verse 3, the centurion heard of Jesus. He heard about Jesus. And this is the only reason that he approached Jesus. He had a sick servant, he highly valued him, he was about to die. And that was the reason he approached Jesus, because he heard about Jesus. What did he hear? Where is this taking place? Capernaum. There's another study. What happened in Capernaum during Jesus' life on the earth? All kinds of things. All kinds of things happened in Capernaum. That's the home of Peter and Andrew, James and John, the fishermen. That's where Matthew came from. And it's a little town on the northwest part of the Sea of Galilee. And believe it or not, it's probably a little bit smaller than Lucan. Not a big place, but a lot of things happened, and Jesus spent a lot of time there. And this is where the centurion was. We said he showed that he helped to build the synagogue there. But he heard about Jesus. What did he hear? Did he hear about when Jesus first went to the synagogue and he was teaching, and then there was this man who called up to him, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are. You come to destroy." You remember that? I'm paraphrasing. This is the Amplified version. I can put a translation out too, all right? So, and Jesus said, told him to be quiet. He said to this man, be quiet. And he said to the evil spirit, come out of him. And he came out of the man. And this is, the people were all amazed. They are amazed at his authority, it says. Did he hear that afterwards, Jesus, probably at Peter's house, then all the people came, people with all kinds of illnesses and diseases, and he came, and Jesus put his hand on them and he healed them. And there's never an instance in the scriptures where Jesus didn't heal someone that he intended to heal. They were all healed. 100%. Did he hear about the situation when Jesus was in the house in Capernaum and there was a paralyzed person who was on a mat and people were carrying him and they wanted to get him to Jesus, but the house was full of people. They couldn't get in. So they went on the roof. They took out the tiles, let him down. And that, there was quite a few things that went on there, but in the end, Jesus said to this man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. And he got up. A paralyzed man. Did you hear about the story when Peter and Andrew and James and John, they were partners in the fishing industry, and they were out fishing. They fished all night. They didn't catch anything. Anybody ever had that experience? Every time I fish, that's my experience. And so Jesus had been teaching, and he said, got out in the boat, and he said, go out deep and put the nets out again. And do you remember how Peter's response? This is an example of not great faith. Lord, we've been out all night. We didn't catch anything. But because you said so, we'll do so. And they went out and they put their nets out. And the fish, they caught so much fish, they had to call the other boat. And they just filled over. It was almost like it was sinking. There were so many fish. He heard about these things. That's what he heard about. Story after story about this man, Jesus. And I think he thought, I'm going to call him to come and heal my servant. And I wonder what he thought. And you can develop this, because it doesn't tell us this. Did he think, but Jesus, I'm not a Jew. Would he actually even come to me? Would he even consider my request? But he sure did. But the point is this, the centurion's faith in this situation was based on evidence. It was based on facts. It was the facts of this Jesus, who he was, you see. And I want to tell you something. This is very important as a Christian. My faith and what I believe is based on evidence. I believe Jesus rose from the grave. He resurrected. I believe he ascended into heaven, and they were standing there looking at him as he disappeared into the clouds. And the Bible is full of one miraculous thing after the other. And it's funny, in my early Christian life, someone says, how can you believe the Bible? It's full of miracles. Well, I said, it's about God, you know, God who is miraculous, God who makes, is there anything too hard for, of course it's about miracles. It should be full of miracles. And so faith is based on evidence. And the Gospels are stories of Jesus' deeds and teachings. And the purpose was so that people would believe him and believe who he was. When John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was someone who came before Jesus to prepare the way, and eventually he ended up in jail because he stood up to the king, told him he shouldn't be marrying his brother's wife, and he put him in jail. And he sent some of his people to Jesus when he was in prison. And he asked this question, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? And Jesus said, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf, they hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. Yes. He just didn't say, yes, this is what it is. This is the proof. This is the demonstration that I am the one. There was a Pharisee, which is a very religious person in the the society. There's about 6,000 of them, by the way, in Judea and Galilee, 6,000 of these Pharisees. A guy named Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. He said, "We know that you are a teacher from God, for no one could do the miraculous signs you are doing unless God were with him. It's just not possible. You defy all the laws of nature. You raise the dead. It's not possible unless God were with him." Yes. When I became a Christian at 20, I was on a work term, came back to school that summer. I had a university professor. And somehow he was in this class and he found out I was a Christian. So he took it on to smash my Christianity. And he was very well educated and he knew a lot more than I did. And he said, you know, you just can't really take this stuff literally. Can't take this literally. And I've made it a purpose to find out not only what I believe, but why I believe it. And if you're a young person and you're going to survive in this world, you need not only know what you believe, you need to know why you believe it. Why do you believe it? What is there to support what you believe? And you should not be afraid of questions. You should not be afraid of challenges. You should not be afraid of any of that. In fact, I relish them. Because when I start asking them what they believe, the fact of the matter is most people have no idea what they believe, and they have no idea why they believe it. They're like Velcro. Stuff gets stuck to them as they go through life. They don't even know where it comes from. That's where most people are at. And that's where I was at before I came to the Lord Jesus. I had no idea what I believed. I had no idea even why I believed it. And so that is very, very important to understand. So we believe, and what I believe is what God has said. I believe what Jesus has said. Faith is believing, and what I believe is what God has said and what God has done and what Jesus has said and what Jesus has done. That's what I believe. And that's why I like that faith is believing what God has said. Something very specific, okay? And becoming a new believer, I started to read the Bible for the very first time in my life. Because I needed to know who God is. And the whole premise of this book is that God has revealed himself to us, you see. We're not just sitting here guessing and we get the smartest people in the world. Well, who do you think God is? Who do you think? God is, this is a book of his revelation to us. He's telling us, and he's spoken to us through people, through time, up until the Lord Jesus. And if you read this book, you see that there is a uniformity to it, a uniform mission, a message that all leads to the Lord Jesus. It's quite fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. There's no other book like this in the world, nor could there be, written over 1,500 years by all these different authors with a uniform message leading to Jesus. How do you explain that? It's believing what God has said. And it comes from what, and that's the question. So the question is, do you believe what Jesus said about himself? If someone says, "I believe God in the Bible and I believe in Jesus Christ," that this means that you are saying, "I believe what God has said and what he said about himself is true." Because belief in the Greek word means you believe it's true. It means you believe it's true. And you know what? There's a long list of things to believe. A lot of things to believe. And it was quite fascinating for me, because I did it by myself. I didn't have anybody with me teaching me, or I wasn't in a church. I just had the Bible. I started reading it. And I started reading in the Gospel of John. And John specifically wrote that gospel. He told us why he wrote the gospel. He says, "These things I've written to you." That means everything's written in his gospel. "That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." I had no idea what the word Christ meant. It didn't mean anything to me. I wasn't Jewish. It didn't mean anything to me. the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. And now here's a challenge for you. Here's a challenge for you. I don't know where you went. Maybe you don't believe. Maybe you're not sure. Maybe you do believe. I challenge you to take the Gospel of John, get a little book or notepad or something, and write down everything John wrote about Jesus and everything Jesus wrote or said about himself. You'd have a long list, by the way. You'd have a long list. I do these kind of things, just like I did the word faith. I have a little book. Every time I found the word faith, I wrote it down. Every time I found the word believe, I wrote it down. So I have it all together. Sometimes I'll just read through them all. Read them all. It's quite enlightening. Okay, that's my challenge. So let's summarize. Faith is in God the Father or Jesus. That's the focus. Faith is believing. Believing is being convinced of the truth of Jesus and the Father, of everything that they have said. But still, there's one more part of true biblical faith. And let's go back to the centurion. It says in verse 6, so Jesus went with them, and he was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. The centurion shows humility. He showed reverence and respect for Jesus. But what is what he believed about Jesus? He believed that Jesus was a man of authority. Unlike anything he'd ever seen or heard before. Someone who had the authority over the fish that they would fill the nets, Peter's nets. Someone had the authority that at his command, the evil spirit would cower away. Someone who had the authority that when he was on the sea, when it was raging with the winds and the waves, he stood up and said, peace be still, and there was instant, perfect peace across the water. Someone who had the authority when he said to the little girl, rise, and here this little girl who was dead rose back alive again. He had the authority. He believed in his authority. Do you believe in his authority? What did he say in Matthew 28? All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. That's what it says, the same word. And so in this situation, he had this sick servant, and when he found out that Jesus was actually coming, he rushed these people out to say, oh my goodness, I'm not worthy. But I believe. You don't have to come. You don't have to put your hand on him. You don't have to diagnose him. You don't have to see how bad shape he's in or anything like that. Just say the word. Say the word, and he'll be healed. That's why he's a 10 out of 10. You get it? Do we get it? That's why he's a 10 out of 10. Just say the word, and he'll be healed. I wish I could say my life had a lot of tens in it. You know what I'm talking about? You know why this... So this is the last aspect of faith is directed toward our Father, our Lord Jesus, based on what they have said and what they have done, persuaded that they are true, and following through. Action, that's the last part. Faith follows through. It has action. Sometimes it's passive. Sometimes you're waiting on the Lord. Right? Sometimes it's active. Sometimes it's obeying him and doing something. But it has action. Real faith has action. And but it is never doing nothing. That is never the case. And we must be clear to people today, we talk about whether you believe in the Lord Jesus. This isn't just something you say in your head. This is something that is your life. It's your life. You see, it involves action. how long have I been up here? Too long? Okay. I'm preaching on this message, on this subject, because I've always been fascinated by why Jesus called that great faith, and I think I understand it now. But when Elizabeth was waiting for her surgery and everything, this story was going through my head. And I woke up in the wake up in the night thinking about it. And I say, Lord, just say the word. I believe you. I believe that you are the God of life, health, strength, everything. Say the word, Lord. And I called out to him as much as I possibly could. You know, something unbelievable happened with us. This all happened within 2 weeks. And she had a colonoscopy, and then on a Wednesday, on a Friday, she's going to have a CT scan. We already knew there was something, there was a big tumor there. And so that was on Friday, was the CT scan, where we know specifically what the extent of the thing is and what we could hope for in terms of surgery. And I was coming home, I was driving east on the 13-mile road, like through Burr, going 13 towards Adelaide. And it was, I don't know, 5 o'clock at night, something. And all of a sudden, there was the most beautiful rainbow I'd ever seen in my life. This rainbow touched down on both sides. I've never seen one quite like that. Both of them right onto the ground. And I stopped the car and I called her home and said, and actually it went right over the road. As I was coming down to the corner of Adelaide, it was right over the road. It was this, and then there was a second one, little one coming up on the side of it as well. I'd never seen a rainbow quite like that before. At least not around here. I was overwhelmed. And then I turned down Adelaide, now going north, and I'm looking at the rainbow, and by golly, it was following me down the road. Literally. It followed me. And we got to the 14th, I drove in, and then it was now over the 14th. Now, maybe there's a scientific explanation, I don't know, maybe some, but it was, say the word. He didn't say a word, but he sent a rainbow. I tell you, I thought, is it, who are we, Lord, that you should consider us, really? You know, you prayed for her. And I just want to tell you how I apply faith in prayer, okay? I don't have a note on this, so this is right off the cuff. I pray to my Heavenly Father and my Lord Jesus Christ because I believe that they are real persons. Persons, just as I am a person. And I can talk to them and communicate with them just like I can communicate and talk with anyone else. And so I love to pray to them. I love to do it out loud. And I love to do it, I live in the country, there's not a lot of people around who think I'm nuts or something. So I love to just talk to my Heavenly Father. And I love to talk to him and tell him how wonderful he is, and how great he is, and how magnificent he is, and all that he has done. I love to tell him how I'm so thankful that I know him, and he's in my life. Because I had only prayed one prayer before I became a Christian. And that prayer was about 6 months before. And I said, Lord, if you really are real and you really do exist, show yourself to me. I would like to know you. And he answered that prayer. And so my faith is I believe him. I believe what you say. And I believe what you say. And I take him into my life. All parts of my life, everything that's going on in my life, the good, the bad, the ugly. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. He said he'll never leave me nor forsake me. It's wonderful. And so faith is something that we exercise over and over again over various things that happen in life and various situations. And sometimes we do okay, and sometimes we don't. Is that true? Sometimes we're down near the bottom, and sometimes we're near the 10. That's kind of what life is like. And by the way, I want to make this point very clear. Because we believe something, that does not make it true. That's what the world thinks, by the way, today. They think if you believe it, it's true. Baloney. We believe it because it is true. That's what the Bible says. You believe it because it is true. You see. I believe it because Jesus did die on the cross. I believe it because Jesus bore my sins on the cross because it is true. And that's why I'm forgiven. It's very important. And so I encourage you. I encourage you. We live by faith moment by moment. And our God and Father and Lord Jesus Christ and all that they have done and all that they have said. And I believe that your life can be measured by the faith that you exercise day by day and moment by moment in your life. I really believe that. It's true of me. It's true of me. Do we have a great God? Yes. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we don't have the words to fully express our thankfulness, appreciation, amazement of who you are. Continue to reveal yourself to all of us, Lord. I pray for everyone here. Put them on a journey, O Lord, to know you better, more fully, to know what you have said, to experience the truth of your word in their life, whatever the situation is, whatever it may be. And if there's anyone who does not and has never fully met you, O God, help them find their way to you. Through the Holy Spirit's working today in our lives and everyone else, we believe you, Lord. We know that you are fully and completely and absolutely true in every way. And we praise your holy name. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.